Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing guy. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. I'm very glad about our good friend David Dossie is back on the show. David is a 16-year member of our Brain Trust, a partner with Gallagher and Dossie. It's an intellectual property attorney, intellectual property law firm. We used to call them patent attorneys, but now there's so much more than that. It's all about intellectual property, which includes patents. He's a registered professional engineer as well. That's where he got his first part of his education. He's not only an intellectual property attorney, he's my intellectual property attorney, and he does a great job, and he always teaches us something, actually a lot of things when he joins us. David, welcome back.
Morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back. It's
good to have you back, as always. Hey, David, one of the things that that I think we're going to probably see more of going forward because of the coronavirus pandemic, I think we're going to see more contracts among people that we might who might not have done contracts with before. I know for a fact, I'm convinced 100% there's going to be more devotion to force majeure, to acts of God, things like that. That's going to be a bigger part of the contracts. I've already talked to other litigators about that. But in terms of a contract, that's what we're going to talk about. How to make sure that you're fair, how to make sure you're not taken advantage of, and that you make that your contract doesn't prevent the deal from going through, right?
Well, yeah. I'm always surprised as an intellectual property attorney how many times people don't realize that a contract can be more valuable than any patent that they could have.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, that contracts and your agreements with whether when you're the vendor or with your vendors can have a significant impact on the value of your business. If you're locked into a bad deal, guess what? Your value, your company may be worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a contract that's worth a lot, you know, the value of your company is significant.
Well, these are contingent liabilities that, I mean, I've seen business acquisitions fall through the crack because close to the last minute before they closed, the buyer discovered that this company is committed to a contract that was going to make the deal less valuable. Happens all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell people that there's one of the things you mentioned earlier is when you're looking at it, you need to always look at these agreements in terms of the relationship. Are you writing the check or are you cashing the check? Because
mm-hmm.
that means whether you're the vendor or whether you're contracting with a vendor of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the one writing the check, you shouldn't be signing the other person's agreement. You know, they should be signing your agreement.
That's right. So say that again. Say that again, David. This is an important point.
Well, if you're the one writing the check, you should not be signing the agreement of the
party. If you're the customer, it should be your contractor signing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's where I tell people there are so many automated systems nowadays. And if you make your vendors go through an automated intake process where you tell them, oh, here's a link. You need to get set up as a vendor in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and they enter all their billing information
yep.
and who to mail this to. But they have your terms and conditions set up right in there, and they can either click on them or, you know, counter propose something that you have contained in your agreement. And the more automated it is, the simpler it is, the more likely it is just going to get agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And if then on top of that, as you know, it's not that hard for your contract to be fair. Everyone wants to go to the extreme and just four force provisions down your throat, if you do a fair contract, you can make this process so simple, and the amount of time you eliminate in back and forth haggling and the bad taste that, you know, people get associated with that, it has tremendous value.
Well, and fair, as we go to a break here, David, fair to me means mutual. If there's, I mean, if there's, obviously the deal points are what you negotiate, and they got to be a good deal. But things that aren't necessarily the deal points, meaning that just the standard stuff that's in any contract, make them mutual. That's the big problem I have with big companies. They make them unilateral. It's to their advantage and to your disadvantage. Make those things mutual. Mutual indemnification, for example. Whatever I own stays with me. Whatever you own stays with you. That's mutual. Think about that. Quick break. Right back with David Dawson. We got more to come after the break. Stay with us. It's gone, and I found out
a little too late. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.